So good to see you this morning as we start off a brand new year together. Amen. I want to thank Janie and Nicole right off the bat for helping with this amazing display up here. Thank you so much for that. I'll be explaining that a little bit more as we go through the morning. If you're new, welcome. I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Bert, and I'm so glad you decided to join us in person or online in discovering who God is. Discovering what he's done and discovering what he wants to do with your life, both in and through his church, but us individually as well, throughout this year. As I've been praying for you and what God wants for Devon this year, many different themes flowed through my mind, different thoughts and stuff. But there was one that just seemed to keep popping back and coming back to me over and over again in my spirit. It was an image. You want to know what the image was? Got a picture of it up there, I think. That was it. Hence the reason for this oil derrick up here. The Leduc number one energy discovery center. It's where in 1947 oil was discovered, giving birth to the town of Devon. This means, and I believe the Lord showed me, that Devon is the offspring of discovery. And as I meditated upon this revelation, I felt that God was showing me that discovery is a part of our DNA. We're not meant to just settle, to keep status quo. We were made for more. We are hardy and intrepid explorers that have been praying and preparing for the next expedition of discovery. It reminds me of, or I was reminded, I was thinking of through this, of a newspaper ad. I was going to say that I saw in 1900, but that I saw it, but I didn't see it in 1900. It's from 1900. This is the ad. Men wanted for hazardous journey. Low wages, bitter cold, long hours of complete darkness. Safe return doubtful. Honor and recognition in event of success. Who's ready to sign up? It was written by the famed Antarctic explorer, Sir Ernest Shackleton. He's my buddy Ernie. Ernest Shackleton, prior to his attempt to cross the continent of the Antarctica by boat, which was possible to do during the Antarctic summer. I want you to listen to the account of his journey from an article that was called 11 Incredible Acts of Courage. It reads like this. Shackleton had wanted to discover the South Pole, but was beaten to that distinction. Instead, he decided to be the first to cross Antarctica by boat. Unfortunately, the crew of Shackleton's aptly named ship, the Endurance, ran out of summer, and their ship became permanently frozen in the polar ice. Though the crew was able to wait out most of the winter, the Endurance didn't. She sank, leaving the crew stranded on an ice floe. To make matters worse, the ship had drifted 1,200 miles off course while stranded. Shackleton packed his crew into three lifeboats. As the ice under them began to melt, and got them safely to Elephant Island. Although the island was solid ground, it was still uninhabited and far from any trade route. Shackleton loaded four of the most necessary crew into an open-air lifeboat and set off for a whaling station 800 miles away. He refused to pack more than 4 weeks of food, knowing that if the journey took longer, they'd be dead anyway. The boat reached South Georgia, but landed on the side opposite the whaling station. The water was too treacherous, too dangerous. So Shackleton took two of his men, made a 36-hour trek over a snowy, crevasse-covered mountain range to the whaling station. From there, he organized the rescue of all his crew without a single fatality among them. To this day, modern explorers have tried to duplicate Shackleton's feat. But even with the best training, equipment, and technology at their disposal, none have ever matched Shackleton's time. Experts have determined that, given their frozen and famished condition, another day or two would have certainly cost some lives. Sir Ernest Shackleton has since become an example of bravery, of determination, of integrity, and faith. As a product of growing up in the church, there is no doubt that Shackleton's faith played a pivotal role in his miraculous journey that rescued the entire Endurance's crew. And in the same way, it appears that faith had a role in the discovery just south of our town. Listen to a quote I found while researching the history of Devon. The lead of the drilling team, was asked by the company when they expected him to hit pay dirt with the well. He would say, "The crew and I were experts at abandoning wells, but we didn't know much about completing them. I named February 13th and started praying." Isn't it funny how faith and discovery seem to go hand in hand? Really, I think it only makes sense. For the author of the early Hebrew church tells us, faith is the assurance of things you have hope for, the absolute conviction that there are realities you've never seen. This is what drives discovery, folks. The absolute conviction that there are realities you've never seen. Without faith, nothing would have ever been discovered, except by accident, like the Dead Sea Scrolls. The scrolls are the greatest discovery of many of the Bible's ancient manuscripts, proving the accuracy of the Bible, which has been handed down from generation to generation. But they were discovered by a shepherd boy who was watching his sheep near the caves of Qumran. Now, why am I bringing this accidental discovery? Well, I thought it was interesting. The scrolls were discovered in the exact same year that oil was discovered here, 1947. Coincidence? Perhaps. Or maybe God had put all those things in place so we could discover them all today. My prayer for Devon and Devon Community Church is that this will be only the beginning of everything that God wants us to discover this year. King Solomon of Israel is often considered to be the wisest person of the ancient world. In the Bible's book of Proverbs, he wrote this: "God is honored for what he keeps secret. Kings are honored for what they can discover." I believe that as we explore what God has said in the Bible throughout 2024, the more we discover of God, of what he said and what he's created us to do, the more he will honor his church and bless our efforts to bring honor to his name. We're going to look at a number of different topics throughout the year, but they will all fit into three categories, three areas of discovery for us. So today we're going to start with a general overview of those three areas, okay? So the 3 points today will be the three areas we're going to cover throughout the year. The first is that God wants us to discover more of who he is. You know, going to a Catholic church with my mom when I was young, I learned a lot of God or about God, but I never really discovered who he is. I viewed him as, yes, he's Almighty God. He's the creator who was far more concerned with running the universe than about what was happening in my life. I just thought he's way up there and I'm way down here, right? My attitude seemed to reflect maybe a bit of what Israel's famous King David had written in the Bible's book of Psalms. When I look at the sky, which you have made, the moon and the stars, which you set in their places, what are human beings that you think of them? Mere mortals that you care for them. I never really believed that God cared about me personally. But when he miraculously healed my stepfather, I understood what David also wrote in Psalm 34:8, discover for yourself that the Lord is kind. You see, I'd grown up saying before my meals, God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. And I believed that God was great. I had no problem with that. I had some issues with his goodness. Not that I thought he was bad, just indifferent. But in that moment, when my stepfather was healed, I discovered that God is good and kind. He's compassionate. He cares, and he loves me. That's why Jesus left his glory in heaven and came to earth, folks, to show us his love. And so when I gave my life to Jesus, I found him waiting for me with open arms. The early church leader, Paul, really nailed it, I think, when he wrote to the church in Rome. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he's already thrown open his door to us. But this was only the beginning of all that I'd discover about God. It seemed to be one aha moment after another for quite a while. Because as our second point says, I discovered God's very words to me in the Bible. Did you know that the Bible's the most read book in all of history? It's the best-selling book every year. So much so it's been permanently removed from the New York Times bestsellers list. It's also the most translated book ever written. Yet over the years, I've had people say to me, I've read the Bible, but I didn't see what the big deal was all about. Firstly, I highly doubt they actually read through the whole Bible. What they meant was probably that they've read some of the Bible, or something from the Bible, perhaps. Secondly, these people probably fit the description that Paul identified in his letter to the church in Corinth when he said, a person who denies spiritual realities will not accept the things that come through the Spirit of God. They all sound like foolishness to him. So anyone who starts reading the Bible but denies spiritual realities isn't going to get anything out of it. They won't understand it. You see, Paul explained to a young pastor named Timothy at that time, he said, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So here, Paul refers to the Bible as the scriptures, right? And he calls it God-breathed. This is a literal translation to English from the original Greek. The Bible is God-breathed, meaning that God's inspiration was upon the writers of the original documents. Which I mentioned earlier was verified by the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, right? What we have in the Bible has been faithfully passed down through the centuries, folks. So we can trust that it is, in fact, God's word to us, which makes sense. I don't know. I like to make sense out of things. Things have to make sense. If God inspired people to write something so the rest of the world could discover who he is, don't you think sort of make sure that it was translated properly, that it was passed on properly? He would, right? So my advice to you is to honestly approach the Bible as God's word. Be open and honest when you approach his Bible. And pray like David did. Open my mind and let me discover the wonders of your word. And as God's Spirit illuminates his word to you so you can understand it, who he is and what he's done, you will experience the same joy that David did when he wrote, "I rejoice in your word," like one who discovers a great treasure. Because you'll have discovered, as our final point says, God's purpose for you, for your life. Because God made you on purpose, for a purpose. You're not an accident. Yes, God has a purpose for all of history, but he also has a purpose for your life right now. You think that God would give you a purpose for living that's totally disconnected from his purpose for history? Of course not. Really, that'd be illogical. So somehow, the purpose for your life is connected to his purpose for all of history. So what's God's purpose for history? We call it the plan of the ages, his plan of the ages, to redeem and restore humanity into a right relationship with himself. It's why Jesus, again, came into this world. He's building a forever family. It's the whole reason there's a universe. It's the whole reason there's an earth. God wanted a family to share his love with throughout all of eternity. He wanted us to be with him forever. That family includes the church today and everyone who's ever followed God and his ways before Jesus came. So God has designed your purpose to be part of his greater purpose, which is to take the good news of Jesus to the people around us. And it's the best news in the world that we get to share. Past forgiven. Purpose for living. Home in heaven. 3 points. I could even preach on that. Where else are you going to discover that? Nowhere. It's the best news in the world, and it's ours to share. As Solomon wrote in the Bible's book of Ecclesiastes, our purpose is to help people discover what life is all about. So throughout this year, we're going to do some deep dives into the Bible to help us learn how to accomplish God's purpose for us individually and corporately. Peter, who's probably Jesus' most well-known follower, encouraged the church at then, and I think today as well, to learn to know God better and discover what he wants you to do. Did you catch that? Peter actually here is taken from my sermon. He refers to our first and third points today, doesn't he? Discover God, discover his purpose for you, he says. And we learn how to do that by following our second point, discover God's word, the Bible. They all work together, folks. And it's going to be an exciting year of discovery as we get to explore all of this together. But maybe you're here today. You've never discovered this. This is new to you. Maybe you thought, like I had when I was young, and you never realized that God actually really cares about you. and that he created you to love and to live with him forever. I pray that you'll keep joining us throughout the year so you can discover who Jesus is and what he's done for you, so you can experience his purpose for your life. In fact, it was Jesus who said, discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You see, when people turned away from God so many years ago, we lost the truth of who we are, who we really are, being created in God's image, to have an eternal relationship with him. So Jesus came to set us free from the consequences of our sinful rebellion against God, which Paul explained to the church in Rome at that time. He said, the payment for sin is death, but God gives us the free gift of life forever in Christ Jesus our Lord. Basically, Paul's saying the reason we die is because each of us have turned away from God and his best for us, which is really what sin means, falling short of God's best for us. But by dying for us, Jesus paid for all our sin. We looked at that already during our time of communion together earlier. He paid the price for our sin, making a way for our relationship with God to be restored, so we can live a life of purpose for him today and with him forever. If you're here or watching online today, and you're ready to discover the reality of God in your life right now, then all you have to do is accept who Jesus is, what he did by dying for you, and accept his offer of a new and everlasting life with him. If you want to do that today, just ask if we could all bow our heads at this time and humble our hearts before God. And I'm just going to help you by leading you in a short prayer. You can just pray along silently, and God will hear you because he already knows your heart. If you want to take this step today, just pray along with me. Dear God, I admit I haven't been living for you. I've been doing things my own way, not really giving you much thought in my life. I'm sorry. Please forgive me and make me right with you. I believe that Jesus came to earth to show me the only way to God by dying to pay for my sin. So right now, I ask him to be the Lord of my life. I want to discover more of who you are and who you created me to be as you open my mind to discover the wonders of your Bible. And please help me to share what you've done for me today so others will also be able to discover your love for them through me. Thank you. Thank you. I'm now a part of your church and your forever family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. As the musicians come back, if you did give your life to Jesus today, could you please let me know? You can come and see me afterwards or fill in the Connect card either in the back of the seat in front of you or online, connected on this video or on our website or our church app. I do have some literature I love to share and connect with you and help you out in any other ways that we're able to from the church here. Also, with this being the start of our year of discovery, I made a little reminder that Arden has out in the foyer there, and I want you to grab one. They're in a little basket there. It's just a little business card that says Discover Devon Community Church. It's for you to remember this year of discovery, but it's also, I made lots of them, so it's also a great way to invite others. So use it for that as the Lord leads you as well to invite others to come and discover Devon Community Church and who our God is. Amen. I'm going to turn it back.